one would ever believe that Saul of Tarsus, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, this man who was a mega brain, this man who was a scribe and a Pharisee, this man who was religious in every way, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, who was a Hebrew of the Hebrew, as concerning the law, he was blameless. If you were to ask him, Saul of Tarsus, do you believe in God? I believe that God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that I owe my life to this living God. I believe he is holy and righteous and just and merciful and good. That's what he believed. But so strong was his hatred for anyone who believed in Jesus Christ that having held coats while a righteous man called Stephen was stoned, so infuriated was he at the growth of this religion he thought was a cult, which claimed that Jesus the Nazarene was the Messiah, that he went to the high priest and asked for a letter giving him permission to persecute, to hound, to root out, and to destroy anyone, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, who named the name of Jesus of Nazareth. It would surprise you to think that this very holy, righteous, zealous man, his testimony would be this: I am a great sinner. If you were to go into town, for example, and find out where John Newton, that old African blasphemer, who had a woman in every port, who was a slave trader, who would blaspheme and swear, who was a man of violence, you wouldn't be surprised that he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He knew that he was a wretch. If you were reading Mae West's story and listened to her saying, I was once like Snow White, but now I've drifted. I've made many mistakes and enjoyed them all. Nothing would surprise you about that. Nothing would surprise you if a man was to say, I am a drunkard, or an adulterer, or a gambler, or a thief, or I'm a great blasphemer, or I'm a man of violence, or a woman of violence, or prejudice. That wouldn't surprise you. But for someone who was respectable, for someone who was righteous, for someone who was religious, to say, I am a great sinner. That's what Saul, who became Paul, said when he wrote to Timothy. This is a true and faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, of whom I am the worst. You see, he was a religious sinner. He was a righteous sinner. He was a respectable sinner. He had sinned in his thoughts, sinned in his words, sinned in his attitude, sinned in his outlook, sinned in his persecution of believers. I am a great sinner. Actually, that's the testimony of Ivanka, Ali, Zach, Jamie, and John. It's the testimony of every man or woman here who knows Jesus Christ. Listen to what Job said. God called Job a perfect man. He said, Behold, I am vile. Listen to what Daniel said. He was the most upright young man in the nation. Unto you belongs righteousness, but unto me shame and confusion of face. Listen to what Isaiah said. He was God. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, living amongst the people of unclean lips, whose eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen to what the verdict of the living God was through his prophet Jeremiah concerning men and women of his day and our day. Listen to it. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Quite literally, you and I are not the people we appear to be. We're not the people we should be. We're not the people we could be. We're not the people we want to be. And this religious, righteous, holier-than-thou Pharisee, when he came to know Jesus Christ, realized that he was a great sinner. In fact, he called himself the worst sinner that had ever lived. I am a great sinner. Number two, Jesus Christ is a great Savior. This is a true and faithful saying worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. The very person he persecuted and hounded appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Under conviction of sin, he's blinded. He realizes that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. He realizes that he had come into the world to live the life he could never live, to die the death he deserved to die, to be delivered for our offenses upon the cross, to be raised again for our justification, that we might be just as if we'd never sinned. His whole mindset changed when he met Jesus Christ, the great Savior of sinners. He would write to the Roman church and say to them, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. He would write, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is a great Savior. The angels declared it at his birth. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He's the Savior of the world. He came into the world to save sinners. Remember, he was the one who lived the life holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was the one who in his body upon the tree, nailed there to the cross, bore all our sins. The sins of our mind and our thoughts and our attitudes. Those secret sins, those hidden sins of motives. Those sins we're ashamed of and make us blush. The things we've said, the places we've been, the promises we've broken, the beds we've slept in, the lies we've told. The hatred we've borne, the jealousy, the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the evil speaking and gossip, he bore in his body upon the tree. He came into the world as a great Savior, as the only Savior of great sinners. Jesus Christ. My mother couldn't sing for topping. She died when I was 13, but I remember her singing out of tune, a song I have never forgotten. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he welcomes you. It is no secret what God can do. If this great Savior of sinners could save the great sinner, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. If he could save a wretch like John Newton, if he could save a sinner like me, he can save a sinner like you. Amen. I am a great sinner. Jesus Christ is a great Savior. This is the truth. Saul, who became Paul, whose name was not only changed, whose whole life was changed, his whole destiny was changed, his whole eternity was changed. From being a murderer, he became a missionary. From being someone who opposed the Christian faith, he became the greatest apologist of the Christian faith. His life was changed, and he said, "This is a true and faithful saying. It is worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." It was true for the Apostle Paul. It was true for the millions and billions of men and women who've come to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ since. I could ask men and women, young people, older people, senior people, to put up their hand and testify to this truth, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of great sinners. It is the truth. It is the whole truth. It is nothing but the truth. And I call upon you with every ounce of my being. Will you believe the truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." If you know the truth will set you free. Free from guilt, free from shame, free from fear, free from condemnation. Free to die, free to face God at the judgment, free to enter into heaven, free to know that your sins are buried in the deepest sea, hidden behind his back, remembered no more, removed as far as the east is from the west, free enough to make you right with God. The lady and gents this evening being baptized, their testimony is the same as mine. I am a great sinner. Jesus Christ is a great Savior. This is the truth. It's worth believing. It's worth your commitment. It's worth your life. Let's stand and sing. one is saved by being baptized. You're saved by coming to faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior of great sinners. Being baptized does not make you a holier-than-thou Christian. It doesn't promote you to the Premier League. It is simply an act of obedience to the command of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The first person to be baptized this evening is Ivanka. Ivanka, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he died upon the cross for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe he rose again from the dead to save you?
Yes, I do.
Do you know yourself to be a sinner?
Yes, I do.
Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart?
Yes, I have.
And will you promise that with the teaching of God's word, the company of God's people, and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, that you will seek to live a life that pleases him?
Yes, I will.
After each person is baptized, we were going to sing a verse and chorus of I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Ivanka is from Bulgaria. She's a social worker. And a miracle happened in her life when she was 7 years of age. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She loves playing the piano. It's good, isn't it? And reading. Now, Ivanka, because of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and because you have requested this, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Christ and me, and wonder how he can love me, the
Son of God.
Yes, I do.
Do you believe he died upon the cross for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe he rose again that you might be saved?
Yes, I do.
Do you know yourself to be a sinner?
Yes, I do.
Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior and to come into your heart?
Yes, I do.
And will you seek to live a life that's pleasing to him?
Yes, I will.
The only way we can live lives that please Jesus by the Holy Spirit's help, by the encouragement of God's people, by the teaching of God's word. Ali is from Afghanistan. He's 23 years of age. When he was 14 years of age, as a result of cancer, had his leg amputated. He's a mobile phone engineer, and apparently is brimming with smartphones. Something I know an awful lot about. He's also a member of the Everton Football Club and amputee football team. And he's a true believer. And my brother in Christ, and yours if you believe. I, upon the profession of your faith, and because you have requested this, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Do you believe he rose again that you might be saved?
Yes, I do.
Do you You know yourself to do things and think things and say things that are wrong. You know that you're a sinner.
Yes, I do.
You ask Jesus to forgive your sins and to come into your heart.
I have.
And do you promise that with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the encouragement of God's people, that you'll seek to live a life that pleases Him?
Yes. I'm going to say one thing. That is, in front of a full church, that I was only bullied and discriminated at school only because of my Down syndrome. Left school on that last day. I asked the Lord to come into my life and I said, thank you for saving me.
Amen. Studying to be a computer engineer. He loves swimming and going to the gym. But anybody who knows him would know in this last year an amazing transformation has taken place in his life. He now loves Jesus as his Lord and as his Savior. Do you? I'm not asking, do you believe in God? The devil believes in God. I'm not asking, do you go to church? You can live your life in a garage, it won't make you a car. You can live your life in a church, it won't make you a Christian. I'm not asking if you're a goody two-shoes, but if you try your best and do your bit. I'm not asking if you're a Roman Catholic or an Anglican or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or anything else you want to add. I'm asking, is the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Savior? If not, why not, like John, come to know him? Whom to know is life eternal. John, upon your profession of faith, and because you have requested this, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
be reconciled to God. That's the message of every Christian believer to those of their friends and family who don't yet believe. It's the message of the Bible. Be reconciled to God. And those people we've seen baptized, they've come to that realization that they needed a Savior. And it's possible that some of you are coming to that recognition that you need to know God. You need to be reconciled to God. You may feel far from Him. So just the same as every Christian preacher throughout the history of the church has done, I appeal to you, be reconciled to God. How do you do that? Well, through His Word and by His Spirit. And a good way to start is by reading this little booklet. It's called The Missing Piece. And it's just an introduction to the message of the gospel. So if you're interested in the first step on that journey, if God is speaking to you this evening, then please take one of these booklets as you leave now and read it and seek God. God has promised us through His Word that those who seek Him with all their heart will find Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time together this evening. Thank You for our friends who witnessed to Your grace in their lives. Thank You for one another, and thank You for our time together. We pray that You will continue with us. Lord, if there are those who are seeking You here, Lord, please reveal Yourself to them. May this be a day of salvation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So thank you again for being here. Please stay around, have a drink with us. It's good to see you, and you're welcome here every time we meet. The Lord bless you.